Oh, that's right. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. And I have the one and only Senator Tim Scott on the line this morning. How are you doing, Senator Tim Scott?
I am doing fantastic. It's hard to be doing bad when you're on the I Love Ann show with Ann Ellis. Well, I'm doing very well. I enjoy your show. You're fantastic.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. But I think you're doing fantastic. How has it been since the Senate has had a Republican majority?
I think the country's in better hands. We are able to stop more bad things from happening very consistently. Unfortunately, when you only have 54 in the majority as opposed to 60, it certainly is still a little more difficult to move legislation forward. But the good news is the president no longer has Harry Reid to stop him from taking responsibility for those actions that start and finish in the White House.
Sure. But, you know, Tim, I think everybody is, like, waiting to see what's going to happen. Can you tell us anything, you know, it can be on any front that you think is going to make a difference to our country?
Well, I think there's a couple of areas where you'll see us making move in the positive direction. I think our involvement with the Iran negotiations will hopefully stabilize the world and specifically the Middle East in a way that the president, through his unilateral activities and actions, would not and could not, frankly. The fact that we have engaged in this process is consistent with history, and second, our responsibility, and third, in the best interest of world peace. I think many of your listeners and yourself would have celebrated with me as Mr. Netanyahu remained the leader of Israel. And this is a good thing. Frankly, I'm not sure that the administration celebrated in the same way that we have celebrated as I've read the reports coming out of the election. So I think very clearly, if we believe in Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and those who do will prosper. Our nation has been blessed, in my opinion, because of our strong stance with Israel. I think our negotiations with Iran is another way that we stand strong with Israel and, frankly, and stay on the Lord's side, in my opinion. The second area that I think will continue to make some progress as time evolves is with this sex trafficking bill that we have on the floor that the Senate refuses to move forward because of Harry Reid once again using his power in the minority to stop a very practical and simple piece of legislation protecting little girls from being traded in the sex trade. It's remarkable, and I think we'll overcome their objections and obstacles. Third area that I think is very important to many people will be our ability to move forward with real trade and tax reform. The president will stand strong and stand firm, but I think in the end, their side loses, their side being the side that believes in more redistribution as a way to making America better. I believe that is flatly and patently false. The way we make America better is to move towards a pro-growth, back towards the private sector creating jobs and not more government jobs, and understanding that the highest tax rate in the world is a disincentive to do business in America. So if we're going to stop corporate inversions, if we're going to keep our best brands remaining American companies, we are going to have to tackle the obvious problem of high taxes. So I'm excited about it. I think we're going to make progress. I think it will be painful. It will be slow, but we are better off today than we were December.
Well, yes, Tim, I certainly would like to see that. But one of the things that kind of bothers me, I hear a lot of the talking heads talking about that, and I guess we're a talking head here this morning, but the STEM bill that would allow more visas for those that have graduated and come to our universities, et cetera, gotten great degrees, But we have Americans that should be having those jobs, and yet the companies appear, and this is through some research and everything, are hiring the immigrants rather than our Americans. So our Americans are going unhired, and we have more immigrants coming in on these visas.
Well, the visa problem that we have, I think, is the lower end of the problem. I honestly think that securing our borders is the place you start the conversation for real immigration reform. Without securing our borders, the challenges that we face will only get worse, not better. But when you talk about the visa situation, there are, I believe the numbers were that there, and this is a contentious issue. I know there have been folks from Clemson to Carolina, professors weighing in on both sides or either sides of this very important issue. The question is, can we meet the demands of the workforce with the Americans who are willing, ready, and prepared to work? The answer seems, according to most industry, that we will need more available workers than we have today. And so if we're going to educate the highest and best folks throughout the world, we should pick and choose who we want to stay in our country and not have some arbitrary system. But before we can get to a robust conversation on H-1B visas, we have to first have a conversation about what are we going to do to deal with the obvious problem of porous borders that have a major impact from a national security standpoint. And if we cannot deal with that issue, then we are woefully prepared to deal with all other issues in the immigration space from my perspective.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's one part of it, but, you know, we have Americans that aren't working, and we don't seem to address the fact of getting this straightened out. And, you know, the president with his, you know, now you hear that they can go back and file taxes once they have their green card. I mean, we're just opening it up and totally changing what's happening to our country, Tim. Where is the Senate on this?
Well, the Senate is in multiple places on this. There really is no specific position that the Senate stands. From my perspective, the Senate passed, as you know, last year, comprehensive immigration reform that I voted against. And so, thankfully, the House has been in a stronger position on the issue of immigration than the Senate. But I would say that this issue will continue to linger on as we have yet to deal with the obvious challenges that we have. There's no doubt that the executive action of the president would provide a higher cost to the American economy, to the way of life that we have enjoyed for so long, and is, in fact, a bad and, I believe, illegal action. The notion that we can solve this problem without engaging in the conversation incrementally is just not accurate. We have to first deal with the most obvious problem of our border security. We second have to deal with what the employers need in the country. And third, we have to deal with who's already here and what we're going to do about it. And unless we are able to break it down into pieces, we're not going to be in a position to move forward.
Kind of like chewing a steak, right?
Ma'am?
It's kind of like chewing a steak, right? I mean, you can only take...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think you're right on that, Tim. I just would like to see something moving forward. I did see where Trey Gowdy just put out wanting our enforcement agents in the state levels to be able to enforce the immigration laws that are already on the books. And, of course, that's one thing that's gone out the window.
You know, that's Trey Gowdy being my best friend in Congress and one of the smartest guys I know in Congress, without any question. When I was in the State House, we felt that we needed the ability to enforce the laws of the land, and not just in South Carolina, but the laws of our country. Our decent laws on the immigration front, we just don't enforce them. And that's part of the problem of our president picking and choosing which laws to enforce. It's at times infuriating to think that we want everyone, president to every citizen, to abide under the laws of our country. No one is above the law, and we need all leaders to lead by example, and this is an area where the president, once again, has not led in the right direction.
Well, that brings me to my maybe last question here. You know, we have I guess Hillary Gate going on out there, and not so much talking about that aspect, Tim, but the very fact of her having private servers, the technology aspect, and not signing the form. The American public, I think, wonders, is somebody covering for her? Where is this exactly? How are we going to get our leaders to follow the rules or the laws? I mean, Hillary, actually, in her statement that she made with Jeff Duncan, what difference does it make? Just proves it over and over and over again.
Well, there, you know, the interesting thing is we are blessed to have Trey Gowdy leading this conversation, and if anyone is going to get to the bottom of all of this, it's going to be Trey Gowdy. I'm thankful that he's there. We need, and I do have a 9-12 call, so I'm going to have to let you go on this question, but Secretary Clinton should turn over the server without any question to a neutral third-party arbiter, whether that's a retired judge or the IG, Inspector General, so that an independent source can determine which documents are private and which belongs to the American people.
Sure.
And that is a very simple, absolutely necessary step to restore the confidence that people can have in Secretary Clinton. Without that, I think there will be a cloud that follows her, because this is a very important issue. She can't determine which ones are private and which ones are public. That has to be done by a third-party arbiter. I think Trey Gowdy is on her trail. I think he's on the right track, and I think we'll be happy with the outcome. God bless you, and I got to run.
Okay. All right. Good
soon.
To talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.